Thank you, gang, for showing up tonight. It's a terrific time, isn't it, in the kingdom of God? It's the best of times in the kingdom of God. And because the Lord is intensifying his work, he really wants to get his family filled up. He really wants to communicate his life to us. A few months ago, before I begin, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this moment together. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come and release revelation, encouragement, refreshment, and the knowledge of the Heavenly Father's love and life and redemption in a tremendous way to every one of us. Do a work in us. Spirit of the living God, be released among us tonight in a fabulous way in Jesus' name. Well, turn to the one beside you and said, and punch them on the shoulder, not too hard, and said, I thought I'd see you in a joint like this. But it's a pretty nice joint, isn't it? Well, I started to say, a few months ago, I was in this prison where I like to go. It's near us. And they have a dormitory there that's all Christians. It's just terrific. Just all Christian prisoners in the dormitory. And they have morning Bible study and they have loads of terrific things in the Christian dormitory. But I was a little bit tired of going there. So I said, can I go to the non-Christian dormitory? So I started and about 30 guys in the non-Christian dormitory and about five or six would come for Bible study, and we had a very, very good time together. But one particular week, about 2 months ago, I finished up a little bit early, and I had about 10 minutes left, and I said, can I go to the other non-Christian dormitory? Because I had never spoken to them there. So the chaplain said, Bible study. And I said, no, cancel that, guys. Happy hour. Something good's going to happen to you. So I said, something fantastic, Heavenly Father, something terrific for you. And they all began to come like sheep in the corner of a field, you know, to the bucket. And so I said, I've only got 9 minutes to tell you, because the 1 minute was already up with that, and to tell you the fabulous things that your Heavenly Father has done for you. I said, here it is. I told them three things, but tonight I'll sure make it four with you. Four things that the Heavenly Father has done for you. Number one, he sent Jesus to take your rap. I'll explain what this means. Number two, he sent Jesus to take your pump. And number three, sent Jesus to take your curse. And the number four one I'll add for you, he came to take your old agenda. So what does that mean, guys? Number one, he took your rap. Now your rap is, they all knew what rap is, but your rap is the judgments against you. All the wrongdoing that any of us have ever done. Anybody ever do anything wrong? Well, all we like sheep had gone astray, had turned everyone to his own way. But that's not the end of the story, is it? And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. How much of the iniquity? All of the iniquity of all of us. God did this amazing thing, seeing the situation of humanity, human beings, that all of us had this rebellious spirit and nature that causes us to do wild things. And because we do those wild and crazy and wrong things, we hide from God. Adam hid from God when he went away from his... And we hide from God and we keep it a way long distance, like over in the Vatican or a billion miles away or light years away. And God says, I don't want it to... He doesn't want us in the hiding anymore. He wants us to come out of the hiding. But because of shame, we're not able to come out of the hiding. And God devised a way to restore us to fellowship. And he saw that the wages of sin is death. And he looks at us and he loves us all. And he says, they're in a real mess. And he turned to Jesus before the foundation of the world, before Jesus was even called Jesus, second person of the Trinity. And he says, would you go down to this earth, which is full of confused people, and would you take their death penalty for every single one of them, because I love them? So this is why he came. He came actually to take our rap. God transferred onto Jesus all the guilt and the shame of that guilt and the liability of that guilt. He transferred it onto Jesus. And when you believe in that fact, that's a fact of history. It happened 2,000 years ago. He transferred all of our guilt onto Jesus. They say, I believe it's a done deal. I said, guys, do you believe that that's an actual fact of history, that he transferred your guilt onto Jesus? I said, now you all have, we live in Florida, and you all have a rap with the state of Florida. I said, I have no rap with the state of Florida. The police have nothing on me at the moment. The police have nothing on me. But I said, I have a rap sheet with God that's just as long as yours, and we all do. But God transferred my rap onto Jesus. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 3. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation of our sins. And that's a big word that's not even used in the English language today. But it's a specific word, and if the translators can't find a better word, even though it's an awkward word, it means, in simple lingo, Jesus is the rap bearer. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation or blame bearer of our guilt. Now, since that's a done deal, it remains only for us to put our faith in it. He has done it for everyone, but it does us no good unless we put our faith in it. I said, guys, would you put your faith in this? How many believe you had a rap? How many of you now believe that Jesus took your rap? They said, we all do. I said, how many would really put your faith in it formally? So they said, I led them in the spirit. Heavenly Father, we believe you sent Jesus to take our rap. Thank you that that's a done deal, that you transferred all the guilt, the shame, the disgrace, the eternal punishment due for our wrongdoing, and that it's all been borne by Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, we're coming back to you with our guilt and our rap taken back to the streams of your love to be poured into our hearts. He took our rap. When you put your faith in that, not only is the guilt, does it fall off your shoulders? And is it removed in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the courts of heaven? Because there's a courthouse in heaven. In the eyes of the courts of heaven, you are now declared not guilty. Why? Because your rap has already been borne. And there's a technical word for this that they use in the scriptures. It says justified, declared not guilty. Not because you're not guilty, but because another man has taken your rap. See, I said to some people, these guys earlier on, in the other dormitory, I asked them, why, how do you know that you're saved? They said, because God loves us. I said, wrong answer. Then I asked them, better answer. Anyone got a better answer? They said, by grace. I said, wrong answer. I said, then better, anyone got a better answer? They said, by faith. I said, wrong answer. I said, it's by the propitiation that your rap was taken. You put your faith in that fact. And before the courts of heaven, you stand now not guilty. Why? Not because you're not guilty, but because another person has taken your rap. I started out trying to serve the Lord in the Catholic Church, in the Catholic Seminary, and later I actually went on to be ordained a Catholic priest. I thought I could make myself perfect so that I wouldn't have a rap. But we all have a rap. And nobody told me that Jesus' coming meant that he had taken my rap. I just knew he suffered for me. But then I had to be perfect to make sure my rap was removed. Well, we'd have to wait forever. The fact is, God successfully transferred unto Jesus the guilt of us all. It remains for us to put our faith in it. Do you believe with all your heart that God transferred your rap unto Jesus? When you do, then you're declared before the courts of heaven no longer guilty. Why? Because of that man there took my guilt. And there's a principle in law, no double jeopardy. You can't be found guilty of the same crime twice. He took your guilt. So now you stand squeaky clean before the Father on the basis of the blood of Jesus. That's why we sing so many songs about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the evidence of him being the rap bearer, the guilt bearer. What an awful price he paid. So all of us have a past, but not all of us know that fully with all our heart that the rap has been taken. And many who even know that the rap has been taken haven't fully put their faith in it. And putting your faith, this is justified by faith, brought into this guilt-free realm. By faith in what? in the fact of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We now have peace with God. No controversy. When you put your faith in that, not only is your guilt transferred unto Jesus, but Jesus' righteousness is transferred unto you. Wow. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Standing, fully cleansed, fully forgiven, just as if you'd never sinned, squeaky clean, perfectly exonerated, and with the ability to stand in his presence without any sense of inferiority or guilt. Wow! No more hiding. You can come home because the guilt of the world has been successfully transferred unto Jesus. It remains only for this gospel, this truth, to be proclaimed to every single human being out there who feel they're too bad for God. They're not good enough for God. They better stay hiding. And say, you're welcome in because the guilt has already been paid. It's amazing. So number one, he took your rap. And he transferred unto you the righteousness of Jesus, that you can live as a son of God. And standing in this place now, you can come out of the shadows into the light. And his love comes like streams and waves of love over your heart. You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, this other prisoner said to me, you know, he said, I'm so afraid about the future. How do you deal with fear? He said, when I get out of here, I've no family, I've no job skill, nobody wants me, and I'm so scared of what'll happen to me. I said, did you ever read Psalm 23? I go to Psalm 23, verse 1. You know Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. I said, who's the Lord? Well, that's God. Yeah, God. Who's God? The creator of heaven and earth. I said he created the sun, didn't he? The sun is a huge, humongous furnace of thermonuclear power that you got it within thousands of miles of it, you'd burn up. I said God made millions and billions of suns. That's a lot of thermonuclear power. But he's a thermonuclear ball of love. That's who God is. Now, he's your shepherd. What does shepherd mean? Shepherd means you're a caretaker of the sheep. Well, he's your personal caretaker. That's why you're never going to want for anything. You are now in the personal care of God, who's a ball of thermonuclear power and love, and it's all beamed towards you. Why should you want for anything? You've come into the great reality of life. To know him. This is eternal life. To know the Heavenly Father and Jesus the Messiah whom he has sent. It's the secret. So number one, he took your rap. Number two, he took your pump. I said, do you know what a pump is, guys? I said, every human being has a pump. And the pump of the human body is the heart, right? So in the heart, Jesus said, out of the heart of man, this is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 20, out of the heart of man, that's every man that you've ever met, person you've ever met, produces, comes, and he gives a list of things Jesus does there. Lust, covetousness, jealousy, murders, rage, outbursts of anger, lewdness, foolishness. All these things come out of the heart of man. So I said to them, have you noticed that you've got one of those pumps? Yeah, everybody has one of those pumps. I said, absolutely, me too. But God didn't just take your rap when he sent Jesus to the cross and restore you to right standing. He went even more. He took that pump. He promised to take that pump out of our heart. You see, there's an antidote for the sin of the world. We see in the United Kingdom today, or Ireland today, or United States, or any part of the world corrupted by the behavior of human beings. And Jesus said, these things that come out of the heart, and he mentions these 13 issues of the heart, these are the things which defile a man or defile a nation. But in the prophet is Ezekiel, actually, Ezekiel 36:26, God promises to take out of humankind to come to him the heart of stone, this inner heart of corruption, and give them a heart of flesh, which is a soft heart. I will take out the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh and put my spirit within them and cause them to walk in my ways. So God not just has promised to send his son to take the sin of the world, to take the rap, but he's also promised to deal with the heart of man and to take out that pump that pumps those ugly things around us, even though we don't like it. See, I thought I could get rid of those issues of my heart by discipline, by just being determined enough. So I decided to be good and very, very good and as good as I could be. But the more I tried to do that, the more I found the pump was still there. This was frustrating. Now, Jesus blamed the Pharisaic religious sort of people. He said, they clean the outside of the cup, but they do nothing about the inside. In fact, religion can clean the inside of the cup. It can just give you do's and don'ts. But God can take your rap. He's done it in Jesus, and you put your faith in it. Restore you to his life and love. And he can extract that heart of stone, that heart that's pumping wrong stuff from us, and replace it with a new heart. A new heart I will give him, and put my spirit within you. And this is the secret of the ages, the secret of Christianity. The secret of the gospel, that he takes out that heart and he places in us. Christ has come to live in us as our new heart. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And him living in us becomes a pump that pumps the Holy Spirit around us. And the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the new pump, is the Holy Spirit. I'll take out the heart of stone, give them a heart of flesh, and replace and put my spirit within them. He said the spirit will be like something bubbling up within you. Like a spring bubbling up within you. Like a heart causes blood to bubble up within you and go to all the right places in your body. This spring will cause this heart of Christ Jesus in you, will cause the spirit of God to bubble up. And he says, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I said, guys, how many would you like to trade in that heart that pumped lust, jealousy, anger, covetousness, murders, and rage, lewdness, and addictions, and have that extracted from you like a bad tooth and replaced with this other pump that will pump these issues of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control 24/7 for the rest of your life. Are you on? So we all recognized we had one of those pumps and said, now we all prayed. Lord Jesus, I thank you that not only did you take my rap, but you also took my pump. And I ask you this day to extract from me that pump I was born with and I received, and that the produced all kinds of dysfunctional behaviors within me that I don't like to see within myself, but it's there. I ask you that you extract it from me and lay it on the cross of Jesus and bury it in the tomb of Jesus and replace it by your own spirit. Jesus, come and live in me and be my new pump and cause the Holy Spirit to fill every part of my life. They did it. Then I said, the only other thing you need to do is to keep that. But I didn't say this to them, but I should have said this to them. You've got to keep this pump primed every single day. Keep it bubbling up every single day. When you begin your day, you say, now, Lord Jesus, we've got a new day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the day. I'm living in your love. I'm living in your providence. I'm living in your blessing. Now, Lord Jesus, would you just bubble up in me? Give me love for every person I meet. Courage for every moment. Joy for every situation. Wisdom for every person. That pump, you keep that pump primed and bubbling up in you. He took your wrap. He took your pump. Wouldn't you like to have one of those pumps? Jesus, on the day of the resurrection, he showed them the nail prints. He showed that he'd taken the wrap. But he didn't leave it there. See, I thought the gospel was just remission of sins. Get your sins forgiven and try harder. That's all I knew. Get your sins forgiven and try harder. But when I tried harder with the same pump, I got the same results. But when I heard you could get the Holy Spirit to be your new engine for living, to be your new pump, I said, why didn't I hear about this before? Because they didn't know either. And I heard, I was at the day of the resurrection, not only did he show that the guilt was taken, the wrap was taken, but then he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit, the new pump. And a new type of human being began to come forth. Those who had were once functioning with the nature of Adam, with all these other negative issues, and who now had the nature of Jesus, the life of Jesus, was reproduced in first a few human beings, and then a few hundred human beings, and then a few thousand human beings, and then in millions of human beings around the world. The same life of Jesus is coming through their smiles and coming through their eyes and coming through their words and coming through their hands. It's the body of Christ. It's the people who have the same life that was in Jesus. So then he said, breathe it on them, and they receive that new pump, the Holy Spirit. A new kind of human being who no longer have that old pump, who now have the nature of Jesus. He took your wrap. He took your pump. And I said, the third thing he did is he took your curse. I said to them, have you noticed, maybe you've noticed in your life and in your family, there has been a sort of a curse on your family, a sort of an oppression on you, that there, maybe there was a lot of depression in your family, dysfunctionality, broken relationships. You were never able to get ahead. You got into addictions. You just always seem to get the wrong end of the stick. I said, how many of you noticed that force pressing against you all your life? It was probably pressing against your parents and your grandparents also. Have you noticed? Yes, he said, we've noticed that. And they were so childlike, these supposedly tough guys. They were so, yes, he said, we've noticed that. Everybody has that. I said, God wants to take that pressure that's been pushing you down from you this day, this moment. It says in the writings of Paul that the reason that Jesus came was to take the curse from you. Christ has redeemed us, Galatians 3, verse 13. The Messiah, the Savior, the Rescuer, our Superman, wonderful Jesus, like no one else, only he could do this. We all need his work. He came. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon the tree. So on the cross, he not only was taking our wrap, and not only was he taking our old pump, he was taking the curse that was over our generations, all the way back to Grandfather Adam, that was in our family tree, that we contributed to by our own behavior, so that such oppression was on us. He took all that oppression. Isaiah said he was oppressed and despised. He took that oppression. He was oppressed for us. We considered him oppressed for himself, but he was oppressed for us. He came, became a curse. But there's another, the verse isn't over yet. So that, with a purpose in mind, so that the blessings of Abraham could now come upon us Gentiles, Irish people, British people, everyone. The blessings of Abraham could come upon us Gentiles through faith, and that we could receive the promised Holy Spirit. I said, you know about Abraham, this one man from all, the whole world, God chose him and pronounced the blessing over him and his family and his descendants through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this man, he came out of a very idolatrous life and past, a mixed up life and past. And yet God called him out of that. He said, come out of that and come and go to the land that I will show you, and I will bless you. The whole world will be blessed through you forever. I said, that wasn't he a blessed man to be chosen like that? I said, the same kind of blessing that was on that man is coming on you right now at this moment. And Jesus came, that all that oppression and misery that was on you and your family and your generations and your life and your lifestyle and your walk on this earth would be lifted from you. And the same way that God blessed Abram, he's blessed you. He wants to bless you. I said, how many would like to come out of the curse and into the blessing? So they did. We prayed, Lord, we leave our curse, the curse that was on our life, that was brought upon by the behavior of our ancestors and parents and grandparents and our own sowing and reaping. We lay that curse upon Jesus, and we thank you, Jesus, for taking our curse so that we can be just blessed just as Abram was blessed. And what was the Abram blessed in? He was blessed in all things. Genesis 24, verse 1 says that Abram, being old and advanced in years, already in his 14th decade, 130-something, he was blessed in all things. Incredible. God has come to the work of Jesus to lift the oppression from humanity. All over the world, doesn't your heart bleed? The oppression that's on the world. The sorrow, the stupidity, the hurting, the violence, the misery, the famines, the plagues, the diseases that oppress humanity, that cause us to be violent and restless and angry and bitter. This oppression, he came to lift it from us. He's the answer. So that all of us would be blessed. That this blessing is still on the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's on you too, through faith in Jesus who took us in. So I said to them, would you turn to the one beside you and put a hand on their shoulder and pronounce this blessing? Would you say to the one beside you, I am now the blessed of the Lord, and you are the blessed of the Lord. So they did. And in you, the whole world will be blessed because of you guys here. You're going to be a tremendous blessing. Your future is terrific. For once you were part of the problem and you were oppressed, now you're going to be a tremendous blessing in your generation. It's too good to be true, but it is true. It's the total truth. He took our rap and gave us perfect standing, making his father our father, and gave us righteousness. He took our pump, our heart of stone, and gave us the same heart that was in Jesus, that produces love and joy and peace. Not by trying, but by drawing from a life that has now come into us. He took our curse, that no matter how shameful our past, from here on in, we're the blessed of the Lord. And one more thing that I can add for us here tonight. He took our old destiny. Paul in Ephesians says he destined us in love to be his sons. And we're predestined after the purpose of his will to be conformed into his likeness. We receive a new destiny. Once we had a destiny of despair and misery. Now in the Messiah, we're destined to be like him. We're destined to be alive. And then he asks us to yield our plans, our purposes, our agendas to him. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me and be my disciple, let him deny himself and come after me. If anyone wants to be my follower, let him let go of his own selfish plans for his life and yield himself to the better plans and better destiny and most original plans I have for your life. So we who have come, whose rap has been taken, whose pump has been taken, whose curse has been taken, one more thing, and this is a voluntary thing. I beseech you to present yourself to the Lord, to lose your life and live for his agenda, so that we pick on the agenda to be part of this great advancement of the kingdom of God upon the earth today. He's calling us. A few months ago, we were in this small conference. There were a lot of young people there. And I could sense a change coming on the body of Christ throughout the world. And they came from a church where there are lots of robust, strong, faith-based churches. And I said to these guys, I said, do you not go to that strong, famous church? No, they said, because we find in that church, it's all about getting what you can from God. And I said, well, that's good, but there is more, isn't there? And they said, yes, we want to give our lives away. God has a new destiny for the people of this generation to join the army, to join in his agenda, and to be part of this army of ordinary people manifesting his love, his kingdom, his life, his nature, his goodness, his healing, his salvation, his hope, and to live for that, and to put every other selfish agenda of ours in second place, to be caught up into this great self-giving enterprise of God today, which is the streaming of the body of Christ throughout the world. So we trade in our selfish agenda for the agenda that comes from him. That's why to his disciples and followers, he says, follow me, and I'll have a plan for you that's so much better, so much more wonderful, so much more fruitful than any selfish plan you could make of yourself that would just come from the culture or from the university or from the prevailing background expectations. He has something wonderful to bring forth through every single life in this room as we yield ourselves to him. Nuala, would you share here? He wants us to be receivers and manifestors of his life. Receivers and manifestors of his life. So now we have to ask, let's all stand up here, and we'll ask, how many here really know with all your heart that Jesus has taken your rap? Would you put your hand up? So we'll just all thank the Lord for this. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you let Jesus take our rap when he died upon the cross. I believe he took all my guilt, shame, blame, disgrace, and humiliation. And that's now a done deal. And so, Heavenly Father, I come to you. I believe in that fact. And I come and I am justified, restored to your presence, squeaky clean, with no record remaining. I stand to receive your love, to receive your adoption, and to live in your house forever. Amen. Say, I'm redeemed. Now let's deal with the pump. How many of you ever discovered you had one of those pumps? Did you know you could get rid of it? Oh, yes. Lord, we recognize this pump. Let's just say this together. Heavenly Father, I recognize that pump that I was born with. I lay it down on the cross of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for extracting it from me like a bad tooth. And I ask you, Jesus, to live in my heart as my new pump. Fill me with your spirit and cause your life to pump up through me. Love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. How many have done that trade-in, the old pump for the new one? And you just keep it primed every day by living a life of praise and thanksgiving. How about the third one, to take the curse, right? And you don't need to put up your hands here, but how many of you have felt this kind of oppression that I meant, something pushing you down? I think we've all felt that in some way. It might be depression in your family. It might be addiction in your family. It might be uncleanness in your family. It might be confusion. And so let's say this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, for taking every curse and every oppression that pushed against me in the past. Thank you for being oppressed for me, so that I can come out of the oppression of my ancestors and receive your blessing. Father, I receive the blessing of Abraham through Jesus upon my life. Turn to the one beside you, punch them on the shoulder, not too hard, and say, now you are the blessed of the Lord. And everyone here is in this room, because of Jesus' blessing, is going to be a tremendous blessing in your generation. A tremendous blessing is going to come out of the people of Kingsway. A tremendous discovery of the release from the curse is going to come upon this generation. And now this other one, entirely voluntarily. We give you, Lord, our agenda for ourselves. Any selfish agenda forced on us or put upon us from the culture or from the ambitions of others or from country or from kindred or from our own personal drivenness. And we just lay it down. And we hear you say, follow me and I will give you a new agenda. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And I will make you fishers of men. I'll make your lives wonderfully fruitful. How many would say, Lord, count me in? Put up your hands. Thank you, Lord. Count us in. And Lord, cause our lives to be caught up in this amazing river of love, stream of love, ocean of love, I should say, that's flowing from the throne of the Lamb in heaven. And let us be a part of this great river of love, receiving it ourselves and then passing it on to others. Spirit of the living God, seal all these prayers and blessings unto us. Seal them unto us now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll hand back to Rob. Anyone who wants to come up for further prayer. We've shared the gospel here tonight. So if there's anybody wants, he'll back it up with miracles. If anybody wants prayer ministry for healing, come up. If you've got a disease or pain or an ache, just come up and let the Lord heal you. And the team are here. Yes, if any of you have made those prayers for the first time, you come up and you just tell Rob or Jonathan or David or me that you've done this for the first time or you've closed the deal. Tell someone, I closed the deal tonight. Anyone ever been a salesman? You know, selling cars or something, you know. And, oh, I love the car, test drive. But you haven't got the deal till the person has signed, right? You signed the deal with the Lord tonight with your words. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.